I realized that my primary purpose in life, and I guess there comes a time in our life where we all have to bottom line this and make this decision, is we have to make a decision, what is our primary function? Can you say amen? Our young people, they're always looking for something to live for. When guys get to my age, you should be looking for something to die for. So, you know, I'm not really interested as per se in living. I've lived such a busy life. I've lived and done so much. I've traveled so much. You know, a lot of people would think that I've done my share. I personally don't think so. So I'm finding that I'm hungry again to leave a legacy, to actually do something with my life that will be effective for other people. Now, I don't know if you feel that way, but I'd encourage you to begin to think that way, because that's why Jesus died. That's why Jesus set you free, is so you could serve and so you could allow yourself. You know, as the scripture says, ask and I will give you the heathen for your inheritance and the uttermost parts of the earth for your possession. Oh, good. I know how to do this. This is clever. Brum, brum. Oh, this guy's. What will we do with our techies? Oh, it was funny. Tom, last week, I'm in Florida preaching. And I got one camera there and one camera over there. And the techies were all in the sound booth behind the camera. And they're all trying to get that cameraman's attention. And there's like three of them. And I'm going, oi! Listen, you know. And then the funny thing is then so he got his cell phone out, you know. I said, that's it. Add another two oxen to the plow and then add another two oxen to the plow, because it ain't going to work until you get an anointing. If you know the story of Elisha. It's true. Nothing is going to work without an anointing. Nothing. Doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter whether it's admin. It doesn't matter whether it's children's ministry. It doesn't matter what it is. Without an anointing, you know, faith without works is dead, and works without faith is dead. So without an anointing, doesn't matter what you do. Musicians, make the coffee. Come on, folks. There needs to be an understanding that if you're doing it with all your heart, there's got to be an anointing involved. And there is one, but most of us don't realize. Now, as I've talked often before, is inside of you is everything you're ever going to need for life and godliness. Everything. Your health, your relationships, your finances. There's nothing God left out of the salvation plan. But it's in you in Christ Jesus. There was a mystery, but it's been revealed. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. And as I've said before, God is not in control. You are. God is in charge. You're in control. You have a lid on your life like a jar. You know, whenever I don't know about you, but my wrists are pretty weak, actually. But I think it's through baptizing people. And sorry, I just think that's funny, but I'm English, so what can I tell you? So the lid on the jar, have you ever gone to get a jar of, like, bread and butter pickles or something, and you can't undo the jar? Well, I can't. So today they've got all kinds of, you know, modern inventions for that. But used to be a knife. Do you remember that? You know, I remember my mum, when we couldn't open the jar, she'd, you know, you'd hear this, boom, you know. Sorry, I'm getting a bit old today, but. And then you'd open it. Well, it's amazing how many of us need, you know, a bit of a sword in our lid to open it. Because it's the lid that is stopping the ingredients that are perfect from getting out. You see, your soul controls your spirit, whether you like it or not. Because your will is in your soul and God's will is in your spirit. So God's will is in the pickles and your will is in the lid. So until you get the lid off, you can't get the pickles out. You say, I don't like pickles. Well, whatever you like, use that as an example. So, here we go. So what's going to help undo your lid? My responsibility is to equip Christians. That's my number one purpose in life. And so I'm going through this thing in my own heart at my age thinking, okay, well, if my number one purpose is to equip Christians, if people don't want to be equipped, then am I obliged to them anymore? That's an interesting question that I have to go through. If you are not pursuing God for the primary purpose of being equipped for the work of the ministry, then I'm not quite sure what the word church means to you, like we were talking earlier. So therefore, if you're not coming to church, if you're not going to a home group, if you're not opening your Bible, if you're not praying with the primary purpose of being equipped to do the work of the ministry, then somebody needs to stick a knife in your lid or a sword of the Spirit. So I'm saying that because I feel in my heart it's very important for me to go over a few of the basic realities that Christians so often miss to get the lid off. I heard something this weekend. Now, don't take this thought too far. But if you're seeking God and the presence of God, and you can still think about natural things, you've not gone deep enough. You've not gone deep enough. If you can still think about your problems, your bills, your relationships, you're not actually in the Holy of Holies. You're still in the outer court somewhere. You're still not quite entered in to the presence of God that is going to change all the realities in your life. Are we okay? Can we handle that statement? Let's live with that statement. Because so many people never allow their carnal mind to be quieted to such a degree that they can't hear it, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought unto the obedience of Christ. Are we okay? They bring it right down there that the voice of God, my sheep hear my voice. See, if you're not hearing his voice, then you're not pressing in. Is it making sense? It's very quiet in here. My sheep hear my voice. So if you're not hearing his voice, you're still following yourself. That's a good thought. All right. So what I'm going to talk about this morning, we've just demonstrated praise. Praise is the first step. If you're not able to praise God, it's because your thoughts are dominant. Your thoughts are dominant because the Word of God says that's what you do. And therefore, if you can't, then your will be done. Your will, not his will, your will. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, if the Bible says, praise him in the dance, praise him with the loud sounding cymbals, let everything that have breath praise the Lord, praise him, praise him, praise him, praise him, and we're just singing. Do you know there's some churches today that actually don't worship anymore? They only say, well, let's lead the singing service now. Let's do the singing. They don't call it worship anymore. I mean, how deluded is that? So I'm going to talk a little bit about worship. I'm going to talk about the next place. And I know I've got to say this, not trying to defend myself, but having worshipped in hundreds of churches, I understand that the majority, if it's only 51%, of Christians have never worshipped God. Never. They've sung slowly and quietly, but never worshipped God to such a degree that every one of their thoughts and their imaginations are so quiet that they can hear God. See, the purpose of worship is to hear God. That's the purpose of worship, is to adore him so much. I mean, I don't know if you, many of us guys at our age, like we don't know how to sweet talk our wives anymore. Some of us never did, but that's not the point. I was raised in England. But anyway, So they don't know how to sweet talk their wives. And if they ever did, they forget how to do it. And they wonder why they can't hear their wife's voice. Are you with me now? It's because the communication has broken down. Do you know the number one problem in marriage is not money, is not sex, is not arguing about the kids, it's communication. That's the number one problem. And what happens, if you are not communicating well with, as the bride, to the groom, then sooner or later, whose words are going to be most dominant? Not his, because you're not listening to it. Obviously your own. You know, because you're in bad company. Blessed is the man that walketh not in their own company. I bet you never heard it that way before. Nor have I. So, I'm going to talk about worship. And I want to start, and you can follow in your Bibles if you want, but I'm just going to use this. And it says this, if you're listening to the CD, is a computer. And I'm not a techie. Genesis 2:7 says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living being." Now, are you talking on the front row by chance? Just wondered, just thought I'd ask before I start spitting. "And they breathed into his nostrils the breath of life." He breathed the breath, and man became a living being. Can we thus conclude without the breath of God we're dead? Can we thus conclude that, as the Bible says, all flesh is as grass, that from ashes to ashes, dust to dust, that without the breath of God, we're just dust? I think that's an interesting point. I was just at a missions conference in, where the heck was I? Jacksonville, Florida, southern Georgia. And nice place, nice church, great church, Charlie Campbell and his wonderful wife, Marissa, and young Jeremiah Bowser was there. And he preached this message on worship. And he said, "My definition of worship is this: giving God your breath so he can breathe in you again." I personally think that's the best definition of worship I've ever heard in my life. You see, when we become a living being, we are now containing this breath of God. I was watching a movie. Oh, it was that that cartoon about the bad dad. What was he called? The Despicable Me. Despicable Me. Well, he was trying to get something, long story short. He was trying to get in this place, and the only people who could get in there were the little Girl Scouts selling their Girl Scout cookies. So he captured, well, not captured, he adopted the Girl Scouts. And then the little one, they're in this scene where she wants whatever she wanted. I think her toy got disintegrated. "I want another unicorn." "Well, yeah, no, okay. I want another." Anyway, so she held her breath. I don't know if she went in that purple, but she held her breath. Do kids really ever do that? I mean, would you ever think, do you ever think we may be doing it if we're not really worshiping God? Do you think we may be doing it if we're not really giving back the breath he gave us? I remember the first blonde joke I ever heard was tremendous. And you know, I told blonde jokes when I first came to Kingston and the church. I told blonde jokes two or three times, and then one of the leaders came to me. His wife was all offended, all in tears, because she was blonde. And I said, "Have you looked at a family photograph? The whole wall was full of family pictures. Every one of my kids is blonde." And she got offended. That's when I thought, I don't think I can do this job. But you know what it was? It was the The blonde goes to the hairdresser. That was it. A hairdresser. Are you there, Mallory? Are you listening? Can you hear me? Thank you. My daughter in love. It was an incredible hairdresser. And she had headphones on. And so she said, you've got to take your headphones off for me to cut your hair. No, I can't do that. Well, I don't know how to cut your hair with your headphones on. I can't take them out. But they're in the way. Oh, okay. So she takes them off. And she's cutting her hair full and boom, she drops dead. What? So she picks up the headphones and puts them on. It goes, breathe in, breathe out. Breathe in. Now, I thought that was one of the funniest jokes I ever heard in my life. Especially been as my blonde daughter told me. Okay, now we're all laughing, thank God. Do you know how many Christians need a pair of headphones? Come on. You're not breathing out. You're taking from God, taking from God, taking from God. Oh, God, do this. Oh, God, do that. Oh, God, do the other. And you're not giving him anything back. Come on, folks, get mad at me today. I mean, you're not breathing out. You see, until you learn to praise, you'll never actually bring your thoughts into captivity enough, because praise does what? Binds their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron. Until you learn to praise, you can't bring your thoughts into captivity enough to begin to hear the voice of your Father which art in heaven. So that's why you don't understand the truth. Now, what we can do this morning, we did it in the class. I thought the class was good. Anybody enjoy the class this morning? I thought we had a really good time this morning. So what we're going to do, if you've got your Bibles with you, turn to Psalm 150. No, we're not going to do that first. We just do it the other way. There was this guy called Don Gossett. Anybody here heard of Don Gossett? I'm sure that John Walker must have heard. Bill's shaking his head, heard of him over the years. He wrote something like 99 books on praise. And he used to be on radio up here in Cherry Valley. And he used to say, let's take a praise break. So right now, let's all stand and take a praise break. It's not rocket science. As you know, our overhead machine is packed up. So this is how it goes. Follow me. Praise the Lord. Now do it together. Praise the Lord. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Now help me, somebody. How did that make you feel? We don't have to go over to namby-pamby land now. Because we just bound every accusation against us with chains. And so, I found the ratatouille that had the mouse. I tell you, I need an anointing to be funny. Oh, I ain't funny. Well, you don't think I'm funny, but I think I'm funny when I'm anointed. Let me read this to you. Are you with me? It says, praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty firmament. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the lute and the harp. Praise him with a timbrel and dance. Praise him with stringed instruments and flutes. Praise him with loud cymbals. Praise him with clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Everything that has breath. See, the purpose is, now listen to this, it sounds a bit nebulous. God's after your breath. He's after your breath. He wants your breath. He wants to feel it. He wants to smell it. He wants to be, you know, if you hold your breath long enough, it stinks. He wants your breath. I know. I don't know how to explain worship, because it's like trying to teach the emotion of love. We can teach the theology of love. Oh, love is patient. Love is kind. Oh, that's nice. I'm not interested in that. I want to know the bit, love is kiss your wife. That's the bit I want to know. And somebody hear me? Not many. Gee. Oh, I think I'll do some teachings, lessons on how to have a happy sex life next or something. I'm not sure. Anyway, forget that comment. Why is it we think, well, that's emotional. Yes, I was kissing my wife. Come on, folks. It's not compulsory, because the Bible says it's better to be single. Am I getting some funny looks around here today or what? You get my point? Oh, that's all emotional, what we... Yeah. Because God wants my soul, which is my emotions and my will and my intellect. So what I'm saying is, after your breath, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. All right, now let's, for a change, quote Job. If you're making notes, as opposed to turn there. In Job 33, verse 4, it says, "The Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty gives me life." You hear that? I mean, that's a powerful reality. The Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty. Are you telling me they're two different things? No, not necessarily. But there is something, they're the same word in Hebrew, by the way, ruach. Ruach is wind, it's spirit, it's ruach, the expression ruach hakodesh in Hebrew, the Holy Spirit. So, can you see that? That we get filled with the Holy Spirit. Right, when we get born again, we receive the Holy Spirit. Then we get baptized in the Holy Spirit. And then God wants our breath so he can breathe in us afresh and anew. Are you with me? But if you're not giving him the breath you have, you can't put more breath in the balloon once it's... You just can't get any more in there. It's full. You need to give him your breath. You need to pray. Everything about his breath. All right, right, right. This is getting boring, I think. John 20:22 says, "And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit." Do you understand how much the Bible talks about the breath of God? Now, this is a very important thing that's coming to my attention on my computer. I think that's cool. But anyway, Jeremiah said this. He said, Hebrews 11:3, and I know you've heard me preach this many times. It says, "By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things that are seen were not made by things which do appear." In other words, there goes your Big Bang Theory. So, because by faith we understand, and you've heard me preach many times that we understand by faith, not by academic ability. By faith we understand that the worlds, all of them, were framed by the word of God, so that things that are seen were not made by things which do appear. So in other words, the earth was not made of the earth. The stars were not made of the stars. Trees were not made of wood. Rivers were not made of water. They were made by the word of God. Now, okay, Josh, I'm putting a demand on your scientific brain here. Do you understand that? Okay, his hesitancy proved that he was speaking by faith. Okay, here we go. I want you to get this. This was a mind blower when Jeremiah said this. It is critical for you to understand that we don't have to understand. It's critical. There are so many of us who are not in the position where we should be in God because you want to understand first. And it's wrong. It's called walking by sight, not by faith. So therefore, when something happens, you can't accept it, possess it, inherit it, move into it, prosper from it, because you don't understand it yet. Come on, folks. Why do some of you struggle with speaking in tongues? People say, what are you saying? I don't know. I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to God. Well, why do you do it? I don't know. I'm not arguing. It just makes me feel good. Because he who speaks in tongues edifies himself. Why? Because you said so, Sergeant. Right? Did Forrest Gump know how to take that rifle apart and put it back together, or did he just do what he was told? That's a question that you need to ask yourself. Well, we can't be a bunch of airheads. No, but we can be a bunch of obedient people. Yeah, we can. And I want to say it again. It's critical that you understand that you don't have to understand. Because as soon as you have to understand, your life of faith is minimized. It's minimized. Do you understand that? Cat's question. All right. Now, I want you to go there because I know some of you well enough to know. I mean, I used to be a production engineer. I was trained as a mechanical engineer. Therefore, everything started when I used to be a draftsman. Everything started with your center lines, right? And there was no other way to draw. You couldn't draw from the outside in. You had to draw from the center lines out. Especially when you were drawing something with 200 or 300 parts in it. And so my production engineering mind, right, 23 years old, had 86 men working under me. There was about 53 operations in putting the Hoover vacuum cleaner together, which I was in charge of, the Hoover Senior. And so it started there. And you couldn't go A, C, B. Impossible. Impossible. It had to be A, B, C, D, E, F, all the way out to the thing was in the stupid box and out the door. No shortcuts, nothing else. Do you understand that? Yes, well, that's your problem. That's why you can't follow Jesus. That's your problem. Peter, who thought salvation was only of the Jews, never preached salvation to anybody unless they were Jews or proselytes. Then one day had a vision of the net as it came down. He said, take, kill. He went, yeah, right. Eat. What? I'm not eating that. I'm a kosher Christian. Never eaten anything unclean in my life. He said, don't you call unclean what I don't eat. So then who turns up? Cornelius' buddies. He schleps over to Cornelius' house. Cornelius was the first Gentile to hear the truth. And so Peter goes over there. Right, everything he's ever learned, you can't go into his house. You can't eat with them. You can't do anything with them. But he goes and does it. And then while he's speaking these words, the Bible says, the Holy Spirit fell and they began to speak in tongues. And Peter is the most shocked at the word. What the heck? This can't be. Salvation is for the Jews. These people can't be speaking in tongues. But he could hear it. Ah! Then somebody said, can we get baptized? And Peter's saying, well, we have to get baptized before we speak in tongues. But now God's went and done A, C, B. I don't know what to do. Oh, God, I don't understand. Exactly. Exactly. And we're trying to understand. That's why you've hit a wall. Most of us in this age have hit a wall of understanding. And in the words, nah. There's two words to help you. Stop it! That's it. Now, I know it sounds a little like shock and awe. Or knife in the lid. Do you see what I'm saying? And I can actually see gears slowing down and seizing up. And I'm sorry, they've got to seize up, some of them. All right, let's wrap this up. Listen to this. Job 32:8, and I'm quoting it, New King James. But there's a spirit in a man, and the breath of the Almighty gives him understanding. Come on, folks, help me. This is a good sermon. Dave's a good guitar player. Right, David, are you still here? There's a spirit in a man, and the breath of the Almighty gives him understanding. You see, worship, when everything that has breath begins to praise the Lord, that we begin to give God our breath, he begins to breathe in us, and when he breathes in us, what do we receive? Understanding. You're trying to get the understanding before you give him his breath. It doesn't work. And some of you have been, actually, I got to say this. Am I smiling? Any guests, welcome to this crazy place. Some of you have been very stubborn about what I'm saying now. Very stubborn. And stubbornness is will worship. All right, let's wrap this up. Oh, that was an interesting reaction. The book of Acts. Paul gets incorrectly accused, incorrectly arrested, untried, and beaten. And we have a problem if people shut the door in our face when we want to tell them about Jesus. That's not the point. It says here in the book of Acts, we're in chapter 16, you can read it later, please. But at midnight, remember, he's bleeding. And think about this, prison. There's no windows in this prison. It's midnight. The only thing Paul and Silas can see is that. That's all they can see. Silas, are you there? Oh, you're there. Okay, Silas. And they begin to praise God. Come and help me, somebody. How many of you stop praising God when you got a problem? We all do it. That's why we need each other. Thank God for Silas, man. What a great man. I often wonder if Silas, who was a prophet, says to Paul, you're the one who had the Damascus Road experience, not me. What do you want to drag me along for? Why did they beat me? You were the one with a big mouth. I never said anything. You're the one who challenged the whole stupid city, and I get beaten up for it? God, mate. Get the tissue box and wear some yellow. But at midnight, Paul and Silas... Sorry, Josh, I can hear you sniggering over there. He was wearing a yellow shirt the other day and said, I feel sad. Anyway, sorry, it's not meant to be in jokes. I just can't stop. It's one of my weaknesses. Anyway. Hallelujah. And the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, somebody say suddenly. Whew. You know, if we were to experience that suddenly, we'd probably stop going to horror movies. Because that would be enough shock that we could handle. And maybe the Holy Spirit would get the jar lid off instead of the knife and the psycho music. Gee, my mind is going all over the place, forgive me. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prison was shaken. What? And immediately, all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were loosed. Remember, praise and worship doesn't just help you. I got a friend, his name's Chris Carinzi, and he used to go, he was raised in a denomination, a very unspiritual denomination. And one day he went to an Assemblies of God church, big church. And when he walked in and the preacher was, you know, and the service was going on and he's looking around like this. And he saw a guy worshiping. He said he saw this guy, he looked over and he saw this guy like this. Worshiping God. And he got saved there and then. Because he saw, if it's that real, I want it. If that man is so enraptured, so lost in the presence of his God, then I want that God. I never forget, that was quite a story. Hallelujah. Other people look and say, no, they're getting emotional. The chains were loosed, and the keeper of the prison, awaking from sleep, seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled. You know what's interesting? Why didn't they run? I understand why Paul and Silas didn't run, because they were innocent. In fact, Paul and Silas didn't even leave when they came to release them. Said, no, mate, you put me in illegally. You get the big cheese to come and get me out. But what about all the thieves and the drug dealers and the entrepreneurs? What about all that lot? What about all the people? What about, hey, listen, what about all the rapists? What about all the other people that were in the prison? The doors open, their chains fall up, and they stay there because of the presence of God. That's why. The presence of God was so rich that it captured them, and they couldn't leave it. If you haven't experienced that, if you haven't experienced that, you've been robbed, because it's part of your inheritance. And I want to encourage you. And you know why? I don't know why this word is going through my head. My closing thought, wow. Can't shake it. Got to say it. Monogamy. I never saw it before until the Holy Spirit just spoke to me. Monogamy. If you're in more than one relationship, you'll never understand love. You'll never understand it. A young girl here was Friday night. I haven't seen her for a few weeks, and she stood right in front of me. I actually didn't see her. I don't know where I was. And then I saw her. She's standing right here. And we hug. And I was so happy to see her. But I didn't see her t-shirt. And right on the front of her t-shirt, it said, "Virginity rocks." I thought, that's an interesting t-shirt. Monogamy. If you're having more than one relationship in your life, you'll never understand worship, because you're giving your love to more than one person. Now that is a powerful thought I've never thought of before. Do you envy or feel sad for Hugh Hefner? I feel sad for the man. He's never and will never and can never understand the love that I understand. Having given these lips to one woman for 36 years, that is what I'm talking about, is monogamy. I want to present you as a chaste virgin, the Bible says, to one husband. And all I'm saying is, if you don't know how to worship, you have more than one husband. That was a terrible thing to say to a lot of people. I might have to enlarge that thought next week. I've only got one husband. His name is Jesus Christ. And I give him my breath. I worship him with my heart, Alice, soul. I worship with Alice too. Yeah, my kids. I worship with my heart, soul, mind, strength, and breath. And I want to encourage you, folks. Start giving him your breath. We're going to take a few moments now. I've asked my daughter. Remember, plan A was to stop after three songs, but the Holy Spirit interrupted the meeting for 25 minutes in the form of a little Puerto Rican. Yeah. The Holy Spirit needs to be embodied. Come on, folks. The Holy Spirit needs to be embodied. The Holy Spirit needs hands and feet. Please, I know some of you only come to church on Sunday. Will you please join us next Saturday night in the Academy Green? Even if it's just between 6 and 8, will you please come? Will you please come next Sunday morning in the Academy Green between 10:30 and 12:30? Just to be able to sit in a public place and say, we love Jesus more than our fear. We love Jesus more than our embarrassment. We love Jesus more than our busy life. We love Jesus more than our busy schedules. Invite someone. Bring somebody. Call people. I got a young kid coming up from Florida just to be there because he wants to be part of what God's doing. And I want to encourage all of you folks, this is an excellent opportunity for us to actually give God our breath. Give him the first fruits of our life, of our emotion. We always talk about first fruits as if it only involves money. No, he wants the first fruits of your emotion. He wants your first breath. He wants everything about you. So my little princess is going to sing. Are we good? We're going to sing a little bit. We're going to worship a little bit. And I must have said this maybe in the last year at least 30 or 40 times. Those of you that don't normally come forward, I invite you to come forward. And you say, well, what difference does it make? Well, it depends whether you believe that both sides of the boat have the fish on. Now, I personally believe both sides of the boat don't necessarily have fish on. And I don't know, if somebody asked me to come forward, if Steve asked me to come forward, Pastor Vaughan, would you come forward and say, sure, mate, no worries. So there's always that thought. I enjoyed your bass playing this morning, mate. In fact, all you ugly bugs were really very good. We're going to worship this morning. Join us afterwards, curry lunch, fundraiser for India. And that's my mouse. It fell in his pocket as he was carrying this. It fell in his pocket. Yeah, right. Yeah, don't worry. The prison door's open, Don. You can come out. It fell in his pocket, man. Stay here, mapes. This is my mate. My brother. We even look alike, right? You see the family resemblance? Yeah, he's better looking than me. Why don't we stand? And I'm asking you now, do whatever you want to do. But I'm going to be worshiping God and probably praying for people as I'm led by the Spirit of God.